It's time now for KMTS Connections, a public affairs program from KMTS News, heard weekdays around 12:30. Once again, it's Gabe from the KMTS Morning Show, here with Samantha Freeze. She is the Youth Career Coordinator for the Colorado Workforce Center office in Glenwood. And, you know, whether you're talking about low unemployment numbers or recovering from COVID-19, Colorado Workforce Center is one of those great resources for employers and employees. And Samantha, you specifically work with young people.
Yes. So thank you so much for having me here today. Yeah. So yeah, I work with youth in our valley. So I work from Aspen to Parachute, and my normal age range is about 24 and under. I do work with adults, but mainly my focus is on youth.
And so are you working a lot in schools and kind of given kids, you know, I remember not necessarily from the workforce centers because it was a very new thing when I was in high school. But, you know, I remember those lectures about, you know, if you're going to be a good employee, these are things you need to remember. And are those the kind of talks you have with young people?
Yes, totally. Okay. So I work in all the high schools from, again, Aspen to Parachute. Some I work in a little more than others, depending on the need. But I go in and do different trainings, whether that's resume building, interview skills, job search, even how to plan out a budget, things like that. And then for the high schools, I also do career field trips and road trips, which I'm really proud of.
You're talking about resumes for high school students. I guess the stereotypical knee-jerk thought is, well, but when you're in high school, you're still kind of, you're looking for a paycheck. You're not always looking for your career, right? And so we're talking about generally non-skilled jobs, but that's not the case, it sounds like.
No, and I think that, so I am a big believer in starting a resume as early as possible, whether that's a formal resume or a really basic just list of things that you've been doing. Because high schoolers and even middle schoolers are out there working their butts off, and they're mowing lawns and babysitting and volunteering with local organizations. They're involved in their youth groups. They're, you know, in AP classes and extracurriculars. There's so much going on, and it's easy to forget what you're doing day to day. So I always recommend starting a resume or at least a list of things you're doing early as possible. And then once you're really at an age to start working, we do formalize a resume with all that information.
I know from our conversations at the GlenX Expo, the Career Expo, and talking about, remind me what we call the young people that are currently in school. Is it Gen Z?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I was wondering where you're going with that. Gen Z.
Yeah. And all of the facts about them and how, you know, the pendulum always swings back and forth. And I remember when I was a kid and everybody always says, you know, because there are always changes from generation to generation. But specifically about Gen Z, how they want to be a part of a team when they go into the workforce. They want to be respected. They want to know that their work is appreciated. Yeah. And, you know, I think as old people, we kind of get cranky and old and we're, you know, oh, young people and so on and so forth. But actually, there are a lot of bright young people, as you mentioned, AP classes and working with the Workforce Center or through their teachers and other extracurriculars to get the resume polished and actually go out into the workforce even before they head to higher education. Yes.
So I think this generation has kind of a funny rap, but they have the most knowledge at their fingertips than any generation before them. So they're super educated. They are change makers. They're passionate. And I think that, like, to really capture them in a workplace and really use them to your advantage, because they are such incredible humans, you know, businesses, if they can create a mentorship program, and then that the older generations can learn from the younger generations. You know, I always say, like, they're your best marketers. They grew up on social media. Like, use that to your advantage. I know that when I talk to businesses around here, it's social media can be a kind of a scary thing, but these young people are growing up on it, and they're really knowledgeable in so many areas. And again, super, super passionate, and they're really looking for those jobs that you know, kind of hit their soul in a positive way.
And when we're talking about resumes, I guess I'm leaning quite a bit on this, but there's a lot to talk about. Mm-hmm. For someone my age, if I were putting together a resume, first of all, there's the question of documentation.
Am I going to
really remember? Well, you know, you're always keeping it in the back of your mind, right? You know, because you never know. Things can change. For young people, as opposed to looking for things to weed out of a resume so that it still fits on one piece of paper, you're actually looking, I imagine, Samantha, for unique ways to describe what these, because generally speaking, particularly high school age kids, they don't have a huge work history.
Right. So they might not have a great or a long work history, but they are, this generation especially, you know, they've been told that they need to be involved in a lot of things. And so all those extracurriculars can definitely be used to their advantage. But then things like under the table jobs, like babysitting or lawn mowing, like all of that can be, you can spin that to sound, not even sound, they are really good skills. You know, the fact that you're, you know, entertaining children for, you know, an hour or two while you're babysitting and providing safe and structured activities while providing a fun environment, you know, making food for the children or whatnot. There's a lot of things that you can pull out of these under the table jobs to really amp up your resume. And like I said, many of them are volunteering, and so they're building those skills. So adding that onto the resume is really important as well.
Generally speaking, we're talking to parents right now because, you know, usually kids are listening to another radio station. Not always, but sometimes, right? We don't usually pick up, you know, people until around mid-20s is when they start listening to us because they start, you know, being more interested in what's going on and so on and so forth. But talking to parents now, services that are provided by the Workforce Center are free.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm. And so all our services are free for youth and adults who want to come in and take advantage of our services. We are able to help anyone in the state, honestly, that is eligible to work. So has the right to work in the United States and is of working age. So that's an important part too. So not just, So, and then all of our services are free. And so for youth, we use funding and we call that, it's called WIOA, Workforce Innovation and Opportunity Act. But we go by WIOA because it's a lot less to say.
Well, it sounds cooler.
Yes, exactly. And so we can fund training programs, including, you know, trade school or associate's degrees. We pay for GED programs, which is really the focus right now for us is finding those young people who have disengaged in school and get them reengaged somehow. So that's helping them get their GED, and all of that is paid for, and then getting them involved in some sort of trade program or associate's degree program or certificate program, or getting them right involved in a job. So we do that in two ways. We do that with internships. We call them work experiences, but they're internships. And then, or on-the-job training. So on-the-job trainings are really kind of cool, where we partner with a business and they are hired on with that business, but we pay for a certain amount of their training period with the company. So it gives maybe someone that like might not, you know, have a lot of experience, or the business might feel like it's a little bit of a risk to hire this person. We do this incentive where we pay the business part of the training period so that they feel more comfortable taking a risk on someone, and that person gets an opportunity to really shine in an environment where they have the workplace that is part of their team, but then also I would be their career coach during that time too, so they get kind of a dual approach and dual support system to really hopefully succeed in that.
You kind of like are acting as the counselor in the workplace, if you will.
Yeah, exactly.
Counselor, not from a mental health standpoint, but more like a school counselor, like in high school or college.
Yeah, and it's really more of a partnership. So it's truly coaching, not, I don't like the word counseling because it is a little confusing.
Fair enough.
But really, I believe in walking side by side with my clients, helping them identify and remove barriers that they have towards successful employment and careers. And then once they're ready to launch and they, you know, we've worked through some of those barriers, really just like giving them a nice gentle push from behind and letting them really excel at what they were meant to do.
And if anyone listening right now would like to get a hold of you or learn more about Colorado Workforce Centers, how can they do that?
Yeah, so you can email me. It's kind of a mouthful, but you can call the Workforce Center, 970-945-8638 is our number at the Glenwood Springs office. And again, we have offices all over Colorado. There is an office to serve every county, so everyone can benefit from the Workforce Center. You can also find us on Facebook at Glenwood Springs Workforce Center. And then I am on Instagram if you want to follow along some of my career coaching in the Valley and some of the fun stuff. You can find me on Instagram at YT Career Coach Sam. So Youth Career Coach Sam.
Okay. YT Career Coach Sam. And that's Instagram.
Yep. That's Instagram.
Search Facebook for Glenwood Springs Workforce Center or 945-8638.
Yep. And you can ask for me, or we have other people in the office that are also awesome.
And for anybody that may be traveling through the area and listening to the conversation today, again, workforce centers throughout the state, there's at least one workforce center serving each county.
Absolutely.
Yep. Each of 64 counties in Colorado. Yep. So just Google Colorado Workforce Center and you'll get the main website as well. Workforce Center, of course, serves all eligible employees and employers throughout the state of Colorado. Specifically today, we're focusing obviously more on youth because that's your area of focus at the workforce centers. You mentioned two things that are kind of connected in a way. Those would be internships and OJT, on-the-job training. In terms of internships, this is one of the subjects today that actually is pretty universal because obviously in your case, you work with young people that are interested in a job or a company or a vocation. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, the other side of that is working with the employers. Mm-hmm. So is that something, do you handle both sides of that equation?
For the internships, I usually handle both sides. I also have an incredible partner, Carolyn Tucker, who is our business services coordinator for the Workforce Center. And she is an incredible advocate for businesses and for me while I'm trying to find businesses that would like to host an intern. Again, it's definitely a team approach at the Workforce Center, and we're all working together towards one goal where we are matching employees with employers. But if you're interested, if you're a business out there and you're interested in hosting a youth, we would love to talk to you and find one that is a good fit for both you and the young person.
What is that process like? So, for instance, if I call the Workforce Center and I say, you know, we've got this opportunity for an intern for a young person, what would be the next step?
Yeah, so I have a group of students or young people that I'm working with consistently. And if I have a good fit for them, it's a really easy matching process. But sometimes it takes some time where I have to say thank you to the business and let me try to find a student or a young person that is a good fit for you. And then I go out and look for them. But I am working with students all the time or young people who we are in career exploration mode, where we are trying to figure out what kind of jobs or careers they're interested in, what they are, their interests, skills, and abilities line up with, so that we really want them to be able to invest in their careers early, but so that they can kind of weed out what they want to do, or in my opinion, more importantly, what they don't want to do before there's a financial investment. So we're, especially with the young people who aren't in college yet or aren't planning on going to college, before they've invested in those programs, we're trying to do career exploration and experiences that allow them to really get a hands-on look at what those jobs look like, again, before they're in debt for something that they don't actually want to do. So the focus is really trying to do either field trips or we have a bunch of different assessments that we can do. And honestly, just talking and coaching through, you know, different things that they like, what their interests are. Or again, I'm really passionate about finding out what people don't like to do, because I think that gives us a lot more information sometimes. And then, because I think that what you like to do can be very broad and like can go into many different career paths, but what you don't like, if you don't like to work with kids, you know, that weeds out a lot of jobs right away. Yeah.
And again, you can call the Workforce Center in Glenwood at 945-8638, or you can also find them on Facebook. Just search Glenwood Springs Workforce Center. Do you also sometimes, in talking with a young person, will you reach out to a business and ask them if they have internship opportunities available?
Oh, yes, absolutely. So if I have a student or a young person who is interested in a specific field, I am very lucky to have an incredible network in the Valley of people who are either friends or colleagues or, you know, partners of friends that I have been able to reach out to and sometimes beg, but usually people are really open to it, to place young people in it. And the internships are usually, I would say about 100 hours. So if they're in school, it's a couple times a week for a couple hours and probably about a semester if they're still in school. If they're out of school, that's not a ton of time. But again, it would just be an internship where they're getting a feel for it. And always the goal for me of the internship, if that's something that they want to do, that potentially there's a hiring. So I always tell the student or the young person, this is a long interview. So show up every day the way that you want to, you know, show up to a job, and hopefully the business, you know, sees that this no cost investment for the business is a great investment, you know, after the internship is done.
Are there record keeping requirements for businesses that want to host these interns?
Yes, it's very easy for the internships. It's a once a month time card that they need to sign, and then they just need to do progress reports. And then I do a couple drop-in sessions where I just check in, make sure everything's going okay. And then the paperwork at the beginning takes no time. I am very efficient, and I know how valuable time is to people, so I try to make it as easy as possible for the businesses to do.
And it's important to mention, kind of seems obvious, but it is important to mention that an internship is supposed to be a learning experience.
Absolutely.
There was several years ago, there was a radio group. I'm not going to mention them by name, but the largest radio group in the world who just recently came out of receivership. but they were fined by the, what would that be? The Federal Department of Labor, because they were using interns for free labor.
Yeah. So I want to be clear that our interns are paid. They're paid through the WIOA funds, through the Workforce Center funds. So this is a personal belief, but I don't believe in unpaid internships because it's such a privilege to be able to give up your time and resources for free. Even as a young person, it's such a privilege. And a privileged mindset to be able to do unpaid internships. So I really believe in paid internships. And we do pay a livable wage, which is just over $14 an hour, or a comparable wage to the job. So if they're doing something, like I have a student who is doing a graphic design internship right now, and the average wage is $20 an hour for what she's doing. And that's what she's being paid as an intern. So it really depends on what the career path is, but we try to be very fair. And again, it's no cost to the business, but there are requirements for the business that we set up a training plan. So it's not that they're just fetching coffee or
But you help with that,
though. Absolutely.
You help with that. It's not up to the business owner or the manager to – they're not on their own.
Exactly. And right. I'm support for both the business and the young person. So if there's an issue, if the young person isn't showing up to work, which really doesn't happen that often, but or something, I'm helping – or if the student is having a hard time with the business communicating, I'm working as a liaison between the two and helping mediate that relationship as well so that it, again, is a successful and happy partnership. Because, I mean, it's selfish, but I want the businesses to take on another intern after this internship is done. So I really hope that it's a positive relationship.
You know, you're cultivating those relationships for the future. Yeah. And I imagine that the tell me how you pronounce that acronym again.
WIOA.
WIOA.
Yeah.
I imagine that the interns being paid would absolutely aid in – it would absolutely motivate them to show up because they're being paid.
Yeah.
Just like a job, even though, as you mentioned, it ends up feeling a lot like a semester-long job interview, yeah. if you will. About, do you have numbers, maybe not exact numbers, but off the top of your head, how many of those internships for young people actually turn into paid jobs?
This past year, I had just one, but that was because. So he worked for the Glenwood Springs bus barn and working as a diesel mechanic for his spring semester. And then he got hired on before leaving for IntelliTech for the summer to go to school for diesel mechanic. Lincoln Tech. And then I have two students who are working as a teacher's aide in the school. So that was just a school, you know, it ended when the school year ended. And then, yeah, I mean, it really depends on each year and like what the jobs are that we get the kids placed in, because some, you know, there isn't a summer position, but, I think that it really depends on what the interest is, but the OJTs are 100% successful so far. So,
oh, that's fantastic.
Right. So they, and that is the thought process behind the OJTs, is that they will stay on, after that is how it's designed. But I am really passionate about that program as well. I think it's a really great setup for people to, you know, get into a job and for businesses to take a little risk on, you know, a new employee. And I honestly, for businesses, if you have someone who potentially meets our requirements, which I will talk about, I say just send them to us and see if they're a good fit. It takes not even 10 minutes to fill out our application to see if you meet our requirements for WIOA. And then if they match, great. If not, you still are going to hire a great employee. So,
and so WIOA funds for internships as well as the OJT?
Yes.
Okay.
So all of our services are free, but for WIOA funding, so anything that we're actually putting money into, the person does have to meet some requirements, and I will talk about the youth requirements. So it's they're a high school dropout. That's a 100% qualifier. They don't need any other qualifications. And then there's low income, pregnant or parenting, some sort of disability, and that's mental, physical, or developmental, criminal justice involvement, and then the foster care system, and then English language learners. But there's different ways to qualify people, so don't just like hear those things and be like, I don't qualify, because we do have different funding sources, but the main source is WIOA.
You said, generally speaking, in the context of your job, you work with folks 24 years and younger.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about OJT. I'm focusing a lot on the employers mm-hmm. today, kind of because it's what I know, right?
Yeah,
it's what I'm interested in.
Well, I'm happy to place a young person in an OJT here if you're
That's actually exactly why I was going to ask. So when we're talking about on-the-job training, mm-hmm. How does that process work for the employer?
Yeah. So, the employer again is going to hire that person on as a normal employee. So the goal is to hire them officially. And then our role is during the training period up to, each person is different, but up to a certain amount, we will pay 50% of their salary through the training period. And again, the funding and how much is different for each person, but that is the goal, is to pay 50% of the salary through the training period. And that will give businesses, any business can do this as long as they have workman's comp. Essentially, that's our one requirement. And we cover workman's comp for internships, I just want to say, but
okay.
For OJTs, they need to have, well,
that makes a difference too.
It, but we will cover workman's comp through the
okay.
training.
So when we do our work comp audit every year, then we would deduct the amount that you paid from our, okay, we're getting in the weeds there a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I will talk to you about this afterwards and we'll sign someone up. But
what you refer to a training period. Mm-hmm. So what is the training period and how do you establish that?
That's on the business. So it's okay. Really what the business is training. And they do need to have kind of a list of requirements of what they are training a person. I mean, every job is going to have a training period, right? And some are going to be 2 weeks of on-the-job training of like, this is how you do this role. And then some are a lot more intensive. I work really closely with an insurance company, and their training period is, you know, 3 or 4 months, if not longer. So it just really depends on what the company is doing.
Well, I, you know, 34 years and I'm still learning. Mm-hmm. So could we...
Yes.
That's probably stretching it a little bit.
Have KMTS call me up and I'll see what I can do.
Is there a limit for, you said, for on-the-job training and the WIOA mm-hmm. funds that you can help support that employee through that training period. Is there a cutoff for how long the employee has been an employee before you can start?
An OJT would be right at the beginning of the job period.
Okay, so it would have to be right away. And mm-hmm. as you said, it's not complicated, but just if you've really, somebody, a new employee you think would qualify, you need to send them to the workforce center right away.
So our goal is to really get people working in our community and do so at a livable wage. So we're really looking for OJTs within companies that are going to provide a career for someone. So that is really our goal, but we'll work with it. And when it comes to younger people, like, we might do an OJT at more of an entry level job. But if we're talking like as you're getting older and kind of, you know, 18 plus, if you're, you know, independent, we're looking for really career oriented jobs. Unemployment rate is super low right now. It's at 2.8, which is awesome. That means most people in, our area, and that's for Garfield County, is working, who can work. And that means that there is a lot of jobs available right now. Everyone sees the job openings. And so we're really trying to help businesses fill those roles and then find the people who aren't working or who want to level up into a position that they didn't have.
We're looking for salespeople. You got a lot of contacts, right? Listen to me trying to snipe at somebody else's employee on the air. That would be hard for me to deny later, wouldn't it? And when we're talking about the OJT, you are the Colorado Workforce Center will help out with the employee's pay. So you're not going to pay for the actual training. So like industry type training that the business would normally pay for, you're not going to help with that.
Yes, we can.
You can? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep.
Oh. It just gets better.
And again, each person's plan is a little different. So like the company and the person might ask us, can you pay for this training? That's where my need really is. Or the company might say, we'll cover the training, or like it might not be like a big enough investment and we would prefer this. It really depends on each person's plan is super individualized, and I try not to say like this is exactly how we do it, because everyone's needs are different, whether that's the business or the employee. So
it's really one of those things, call, have a conversation, mm-hmm. and see what makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
Fair enough. Career road trips are something else that you just touched on at the very beginning of the conversation today.
This is my absolute favorite part of my job. I work with local high schools. My main school I work with is Glenwood Springs, but if other high schools are listening right now, I would love to get involved with you and make this happen at other areas too. I work with a group of students at mainly Glenwood for this that are in a career exploration class already. And then my role is to go in and I interview all the students and figure out what they want to do with their lives. And then I try to make it so that we go and experience that for a day. And we have gone to some incredible places. We've gone to the Independent Electrical Contractors School in Glenwood. We've gone to the Caverns, Hotel Colorado, Glenwood Medical Associates, the water treatment plant, CARE. I mean, just across the board, we've been to some really great organizations in town, and the police departments are always so great. Mind Springs has come and talked to us. So again, all of the students go on all of those field trips. And so my goal is to expose them to as many opportunities as possible, but hopefully every kid in that class has one field trip that directly matches what they said at the beginning of the year they were interested in. So everyone goes on each field trip. We all get to experience everything. It is incredible. My favorite was Windwalkers. I have such a soft spot for that organization, and just being able to see the kids, you know, get to experience these different organizations and companies and businesses in town, and kind of see themselves in these in these careers and see what a normal day looks like, I think is really powerful. And again, prior to spending all the money on potentially being a nurse and then realizing after a day at Glenwood Medical Associates that that's really not the best fit for you. And maybe they're exposed to a different field trip that is a better fit.
Career talks are another, it sounds kind of similar to those career field trips, but career talks are, I guess the difference would be that's where the business owners or organizational leaders would come into the classroom.
So maybe they don't have like a really cool office space or business that is, you know, worth coming to go, you know, coming in to see, but they have a career that is, you know, worthy of hearing about. Every career is worthy of hearing about, but, you know, and the kids get an opportunity to sit down with the business owner or the person and ask all their questions and hear what a normal day is like. And I think it's just such a great partnership. Again, I'm really big on the mentorship so that, you know, the business owners are getting to know the kids and the kids are getting to know the businesses in the community, and they know where to look for summer jobs, or once they graduate, they know where to apply, you know, to get their electrical apprenticeship program going and things like that, where most of these kids are not exposed to those opportunities day to day.
And another large portion of your time is spent helping kids that, for whatever reason, discontinued their secondary education, and that is the GED, the General Equivalence Diploma, right?
Yeah. So exactly. So I am working. My biggest part of my caseload right now is young people who have disengaged from high school and are currently working on their GED program. And all of these kids are incredible members of society. I love them so much. They are the hardest workers, especially with COVID. A lot of these kids, you know, it wasn't that they dropped out just because they're lazy or they just don't care. A lot of them had to drop out because their parents needed to work and they needed to take care of younger siblings, or their parents lost their job and then they had to take on the full-time work to help support the family. So a lot of these kids are just really incredible and so smart and are so worthy of all the good things in this world. And so we're currently working on getting them and supporting them through the GED program, which is not easy. It is not an easy test. I don't recommend it. If you can avoid it, go to high school. But no, if you do decide to do the GED route, it's 4 tests. And again, we will pay for the course, the tutors, the tests, the practice tests. And we can also help. Like, a lot of my kids don't have computers at home, so we were able to pay for computers so that they can do the practice tests and the studying at home. We really are trying as hard as we can to remove some of those barriers to help these young people be successful, and they deserve it. And then the next step would be to get them into an internship or an OJT or training program beyond GED to continue their education or career path.
Is the GED test, is it harder than the SAT?
I think it's just different, but yeah.
Okay. Right. Fair enough. Where does the funding for all of these programs come from? I imagine that you probably have a number of different funding sources, but
we're state and federally funded.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I was going to say, being as the services that are offered are free of charge to the business and the prospective employees, I imagine a majority of the funding probably comes from like our payroll taxes, our state payroll taxes.
Yeah, it comes from a bunch of different places. But yeah, we're state and federally funded. And again, I just want to make it clear that anyone can get our services, any of those like workforce skill developments or interview skills, resumes, things like that. We have computer resources. All of that is free and you have no requirements to use those things besides eligibility to work in the community. And then, yeah, I highly recommend taking advantage. We have people stationed from Aspen to Parachute at the local libraries and human resource centers or human services centers. If you can't commute to Glenwood, because we know that that's definitely a barrier in this valley, we don't have wonderful transportation options, and it's quite the commute to Glenwood from those far ends of each end of the valley. And then we also can do nearly everything virtually. So again, don't hesitate to reach out no matter what your needs are.
Again, phone number is 945-8638. You can search Facebook for Glenwood Springs Workforce Center, and you can follow Samantha on Instagram, YT Career Coach Sam.
Mm-hmm. And you'll see photos and silly videos and all that stuff. But just so I have the Instagram so that the young people can see what we're doing and see photos from their field trips or whatnot. And then also just get the word out about the awesome resources that the Workforce Center has.
Any final thoughts? Anything that I didn't cover that we should have?
No. Thank you just so much for having me here today. And I just am so appreciative to be able to have this opportunity and talk about my career because I love it. And I love helping other people get into a career that they also love.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Hope to have you back sometime soon. We can talk about your TikTok account when you have one.
I do have a TikTok account. Uh-huh. Yes. But I don't advertise that as much, but I'm sure you can find me.
Is it the same kind of thing or is it more of a personal?
No, I have a work one. Okay. And that, I think it's Career Coach Sam.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Or Youth Career Coach Sam. So you can find me.
Cute TikTok videos, but again, in context of career coaching and the
Instagram has, you know, tips and tricks. I post daily jobs that are opening in the Valley, and then local resources too. So it is just, I try to get the word out for everyone, all the organizations around us.
That's awesome. Again, search Facebook for Glenwood Springs Workforce Center. Search Instagram. Sam's username is YT Career Coach Sam. I'm dating myself. You do still call it a username on Instagram, right?
Or
account.
Use whatever feels good to you.
And again, the phone number is 945-8638. Sam, all the best.
Thank you so much.
You've been listening to KMTS Connections, a public affairs program from KMTS News, heard weekdays around 12:30. It's another reason we are the most listened to radio station from Rifle to Aspen.